you listen to the show, you know, obviously, I'm a huge fan of startups. I'm also a huge fan of the partners and sponsors that have helped us along the way. In this particular case, we have both of them. But one even step above that is on the show, we talk about hiring all the time, in particular, bad hiring. And just so the impact that that has on companies from a growth standpoint, from a scaling back standpoint, from a getting yourself in trouble standpoint.
Wait a minute, wait a turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business, he make a lot of moves. I'm saying.
And so with that said, I want to introduce Nick Kramitis from Hunt Club. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Scott, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course, anytime. So I want to catch up with you on everything that's going on with Hunt Club, but also, you know, we had a chance off air to talk a little bit about sort of the changes, and I don't want to shit on anybody. I want to keep it cleanishness. But Chicago has grown, I would say, exponentially over the last couple of years, particularly since you first got involved in your 30 under 30 Forbes entrepreneur, is that?
Yeah, no.
Are you still under 30?
No, not anymore. So they kicked me off the list. I can't show up anymore.
Yeah, you're still there. Yeah. But I guess the point I'm making there is that you've been around long enough to see before it was this.
Yep.
And one of the things that usually happens in every good startup ecosystem is rapid deployment of partners and tools and things you can use to hire and blah, blah, blah. Anything that is business associative comes in. What also happens as a result of that is fatigue. And you get to this thing where everyone's just throwing stuff at the wall, and I'm not going to name names, but there are lots of hiring, whether it's recruitment and other platforms, that just don't work in the capacity that the individual community takes on. And like, for example, San Francisco, we talked about this before, San Francisco has this like hire 1,000 people, fire 900 people attitude, and Chicago doesn't. And you guys have built, you personally have been behind building Hunt Club, which is a platform that is uniquely different to the traditional recruiter throw it at the wall model. And I think it's very, very well suited for Chicago. I'm interested to hear from you how you think it plays nationally and just overall what you guys are up to. So before we jump into all that, why don't you give us kind of a rundown on where people can learn more about Hunt Club and what it is and how it came to be.
Yeah. So Hunt Club is a new category of talent firm. So what we do is we leverage proprietary technology that we build from an end-to-end process, different than any other firm in the country. We homegrown everything, and then a network of well-connected folks. We call them influencers to refer on your open positions, and then we pair full service on top of it. So think of, you know, if you're doing your next CMO search, CRO search, VP of operations search, a wide network of subject matter experts that have lived and breathed those roles that can help you find someone great.
Can you say some of the companies you've worked with and people you've placed that people might know?
Yeah. I mean, so some of our biggest customers and some, you know, great folks that we're lucky to work with locally are, think of Home Chef locally, G2 Crowd, we have a great partnership with. I know you had Ryan around here beforehand, but we placed Ryan Benici, who's their new CMO in town. We were lucky to work with Pinterest to help scale their sales team. So we really got a great national and local presence on companies we're working with.
So that was one that I did not know until we were talking before, and that Ryan was placed by you guys, which is, I think, I don't want to simplify this down to one thing and make it only about influencers, because it really is far more broad than that. But in the new world, in the new digital world, where everyone sort of is a, I don't even want to say influencer, thought leader, there's a combination of like thought leader, data user. You're a person who just like posts tons of stuff and just uses up all my data as I'm scrolling through it. We're full of people who have sort of built out their own personality. It used to be a resume. It used to hand out a resume to some headhunter and they'd be like, oh, well, based on your past experience, I think you'd work here, and then I'll just take 30% of your money. So that's where that goes. And now we're in a world where Ryan, as an example, he doesn't need a resume. Ryan, you know, went through the Microsoft and Salesforce, and a company that was acquired by Salesforce, and he goes to HubSpot. Ryan has built his own resume that you can follow by following Ryan. Ryan just needed somebody to alert him of an opportunity that was worth his attention, G2 Crowd, which you came to do. I just think that we, when we look, and I know you're going to be a fan of this comment, when we look at the way recruiters have disrupted the model, they haven't really disrupted anything. They've just sort of brought what used to be done in paper and pencil and made it digital.
Yep.
This is actually a new adaptation, which you do. Hunt Club is a new adaptation of the way people recruit. You're looking at people socially online and saying, you have posted many things about this. You know you. And if you know you, you work at G2 Crowd. You probably would connect. And you sort of filter everybody through, which is just unique. Walk us through a little bit of how the influencer model works for you.
Yeah, I think before we jump into that, I think you hit like one of the most important and
I throw a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah, it's no, it's great. I caught like 70% of it, and I'm going to chuck some of it back. But the you know, I think one of the biggest trends is like the digitizing of everyone's profile and the proliferation of the internet. So beforehand, 30 to 40 years ago, there was a black box that was someone's Rolodex. All that data was encapsulated in a recruiter's Rolodex, and they never gave it up, and that was their, you know, their proprietary IP and asset.
We're all luckier for it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And but today, you know, anyone knows how to reach Ryan. Anyone knows how to reach any certain candidate. But with the problem with that comes the noise of everyone having access to you. So the constant spam, the cold calling, the impersonal outreach, the, you know, it's almost making everyone numb to opportunities. And if you look at LinkedIn today, for example, we're hitting a critical mass of recruiting firms, people trying to sell you stuff, and candidates and potential prospects that are updating their information. So the problem we try and solve at Hunt Club is how do you leverage the best connection to refer somebody for an opportunity that they know they'll know and love. And we try and forge that and build technology to power that. And that's what we're about.
So how, walk me through a little bit, like how the actual process works. Like, tell me how Ryan's placed.
Yeah. So the way that it worked is when we work with the company, we can actually onboard both their executive team and their company's network, as well as our greater influencer network of over 4,000 referrals. So what we actually found in the process is one of their board members was connected and worked with Ryan beforehand, and we served up a referral request directly to him. So our technology allows us to understand who everyone's connected to and actually directly ask them in a very simple way. You get these, Scott, where it's, hey, we see you're connected to this person. Here are the 3 to 4 reasons we think they're a great fit for the role. Do you want to refer them? And a referrer, an influencer, has the opportunity to say yes, and clicks a button, and we reach out on their behalf with them CC'd. No, they're not a good fit. The Hunt Club promise, as we branded it, is we'll never reach out without permission, or they'll introduce you directly. So we shot a referral request to one of G2 Crowd's board members. He approved it. And next thing you know, we started a process with Ryan, and certainly he listened to him because it was one of his former bosses and, you know, a guy that's pretty prominent in the marketing community.
So how, if I'm an influencer, so I get someone who comes through my email and I'm like, oh, you know, I like this person, but I also know that if I get them an interview, I get $100.
Yep.
And if they get placed, I get money too. So there's like a whole other referral piece of this that I want to get into for the influencer or to the person who's helping here. But the one issue that always kind of came up in my head is like dollars versus my name.
Yep.
So it's like, am I going to spend time looking at this person and actually really, you know, paying attention when I promote that they should be interviewed, or am I just trying to chase that hundo? And I just wonder, you know, how do you guys make sure that the people that I'm saying, yeah, of course you should refer this person, that I actually am doing that for the right reasons and not just because I want the hundo?
Yeah. So there's 3 ways. So the first is that we actually curate and let every single person in manually. So we'll have a phone call or a screening conversation to make sure that they're aligned with our mission and goals. So a lot of the people in our network, you know, although money is a great perk and a great way to keep people engaged, it's not why they're doing it. So that's the first reason.
Did I just get kicked out of the network?
You got kicked out, Scott. You're out.
I just told you I was in it for the money. You're out of here.
Yeah, you just gave us a tell there. I'm going to tell our team back at home to knock you out of the network.
Anyone he says is okay is just a hundo.
Yeah, it's a hundo. You refer to it as a hundo. We call it a pay it forward reward. We're going to change it to a hundo now.
He's obviously very self-serving. He literally needs $100 so bad that he's just pushing everything forward.
Dylan's Candy's next door. You need a lot of candy.
I mean, I do actually love Dylan's Candy. But anyway.
So the second way that we do it is we really build technology and tools to understand the strength of connection. So really make sure we're trying to select the right influencer to refer the right person for an opportunity. And I think the final way is although it's a great way to access passive candidates and get people to the table by using referrals and connecting the dots with social capital, we screen and assess every single candidate to make sure they're actually a fit for our companies and our partners' roles. So, you know, think of us as the 2.0 version of firms where we're using tools and technology they don't understand or don't have, but we're still making sure we're delivering a quality service on top of it.
I love this. So let's talk a little bit about the money side of this actually though. So like the money for the individuals like myself and others that can help place people, because I think this is, so I had another Rent Grotta was on the show recently, and they've got a very similar model to you, but for the purposes of placing people in apartments. And I think it's really unique and interesting that I can live in a building and be like, oh, you know, I like this place. I think other people would like it. If I am in any way, shape or form, part of the process of making you select this building, I actually get some rent credits.
Yeah.
I think it's a cool idea, and you guys have a very similar model, but for hiring. And so walk us through how not only are the employer and the employee potentially winning here, but also just anyone involved. Like, it's just unique.
Yeah. Yeah. So, any influencer that refers somebody for an open position, if they get an interview, you actually make $100 to $300 depending on the seniority of role. And if they actually take the role and get placed, you make $2,000 to $5,000. And the whole concept isn't that, you know, people are desperately looking for an additional $100 to $300, but the business actually started because in 2014, I referred 6 to 7 people directly to executive headhunters, placed 6 people. And by the 5th, I got a bottle of wine. And I swear the guy was
shitty wine usually.
Well, yeah, it was like, you know, it was Boone's Farm. But I walked in, I saw the recruiter like cruising down the street in a Tesla. And so it's just, it didn't make sense to me. And so after doing it after a while, I started thinking to myself, well, if there's that much of a market need for this, so much so that the value of that referral is buying people a great black Tesla that's cruising down the Michigan Avenue, maybe there is a mismatch in value exchange. And so really started studying the industry and the best executive recruiters. You talk to the guys at Spencer Stewart, Korn Ferry, Egon Zehnder. They build and curate a database and a network, and they call on that network to refer when they need help. We're doing that on steroids with technology.
Very cool. I love the... I guess I love all of these businesses that are sort of marketplace meets... problem solver meets your traditional thing, which is what I was talking about before. Like most of the recruiter, and this is not just recruiting industry, this is across a ton of industries we talk about on the show. Just because you brought something to the digital world does not mean you disrupted it. You didn't change anything. All you did is make it go this way. And it's companies like yours and like RankRouter that are actually like, whether they work or not is not what the show's about. It's just... that is something that is actually changing. Well, no, you guys do work. I'm not here to judge and be like, oh, I think you're going to make it. Like, what the hell do I know? Right now, it looks good for you. But I think what is interesting is that it puts everybody in the recruiting business on their toes. They have no choice but to be like, oh, shit, there's that company that does this thing.
If you look at the market over the last couple decades, there's been people that have approached the problem from just purely building software. Yep. Software is going to solve everything. And then there's been people that have approached the problem purely from a manual services perspective. Like, we believe the solution is somewhere at the intersection between those two things. And I think we're not trying to take away the human element of recruiting. We believe that you need a trusted advisor to both consult a company and help them understand the position and help someone walk someone through a very difficult life decision of switching jobs. Like, I don't think you can change that. What I do think you can change is getting better people to the table, leveraging network effects. Because today, like, I started this company, I'm running this company, but there are still 5 to 10 people in my life that if they said, I need to sit you down and talk about an opportunity, I'd take the meeting.
Yeah.
And I think that goes
to everyone. I just got an email like that the other day, actually. Yeah. And like, I get them fairly frequently, but it's like, most of the time I just delete them. Like, I'll read the intro like, yeah, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
But there are a few that it's like, I love Technora, I love what I'm doing, but like, no one says no to a good opportunity. And especially if it's someone you know.
The right person. If it comes from the right person, people listen. And I think that's just the power of what we're trying to do at Hunt Club. Serve the right referral from the right person for the right opportunity to change someone's life.
Let's skip ahead a little bit and let's say, what do you think the impact on every level, whether that's your own personal, the impact on recruiting from the standpoint of people hiring people, the impact of recruiting on the standpoint of people trying to get new jobs, what do you think is the end impact of having a Hunt Club in the market?
You know, I think we're going to change how people think about two different things. One, how they think about applying technology to the entire recruiting process, the candidate experience, and how you actually leverage it to get great people to the table. And two, I think change the service delivery model. Like, part of our model that we're kind of proud of is 90% of our team has never actually worked in the industry.
Yeah.
And we think that...
which I actually think is a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's you look at a majority of the industry, and not the entire industry, but a majority of it. And traditionally, a lot of contingency shops that are very volume-based, it's not about relationship building. It's not about curating social capital. It's not about making people feel good and understand about a process. It's about getting butts in seats with no regard to anything but placing the role. And not to knock them, I actually think the business model in this industry is broken. So what we're really trying to do is change that as well.
I totally agree. I mean, I there are a few industries, real estate is one of them, even though, you know, I came from commercial real estate, so I'm not knocking it, but I'm going to knock it. There's a few industries that I've always laughed at that's like jamming product down their throat. Yeah. Recruiting is one of those industries. Like, if you are not, like, it's so funny because I know a lot of people in the recruiting space, including Spencer Stewart and many more, that they get into it with the right reasons. They get it. They get a couple of great placements, and it's like, I'm boutique. You know, yeah. I'm not that guy.
Yep.
I place high level executives, and then like after a while, you're like, you know, I actually make a lot more money if I just jam people product down their throat, and they all end up there. It doesn't matter what happens. They always end up with like I place someone high-level GE, I place someone here, I place someone here. Then I realized that I could make like $1 million a year if I just jammed people in everyone's place.
Mm-hmm.
And before long, they're just slamming your inbox. Just like, oh my God, like get away from me.
Well, I think the business model. So we don't actually think recruiting is 100% broken. We think that you need to apply new tools, methodologies, and ideas around
it. I think the value proposition is broken. I don't think that the recruiting model is broken. It's still one is a need. One does not know what they want. I'm the guy or girl to put you in front of the right opportunity. Like that model is still good to go. It is what it is.
For sure.
It's how you're, it's who gets what and how much of it that should matter.
We actually think the business model's broken too. Think about it. If you're a contingency firm where the only way that you as a person can make money to pay your rent, feed your family is by placing somebody, you're going to do whatever it takes to place somebody.
Of course.
And that's going to change your behavior.
Which is not going to help the person you're trying to place on average.
And the flip side, if you're the larger firms and you're getting paid these massive retained contracts that you're going to be paid out and guaranteed regardless if you successfully place the role, that changes your drive and incentive.
Sure.
So that's why we stay somewhere between those.
What do you think is the number one thing you've got to get right for this to work?
Service quality. You know, it's funny. It's as a technologist, I'd like to say it's building amazing technology that powers the influencer network and really does incredible things that no other firm can do, but I feel like that's table stakes for us.
Yeah.
I think we need to train and grow our services team to care more, to service our clients better, to be smarter, and then build technology that allows them to do that.
I was just going to say, I mean, just my two cents watching and obviously having a pretty inside understanding of what you guys do, and this goes with us too. This is in every business that exists, I think, probably, you know, at some point or another. The ability to offer all of the experiential luxuries that the great headhunters have always offered, which is essentially we are in panic mode because we don't know who the hell we're going to place you for, mm-hmm. but I make you feel comfortable that the job's going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of feeling of like, yeah, we deliver this, but we don't charge you. We don't charge you for that. We don't make our money making you feel like you're happy with our services. You are happy with our services, which is why you pay us.
Yep.
Our technology enables us to minimize them, you know, but make better margins for us. I still charge you a competitive rate compared to everybody else, maybe a little more, maybe a little higher,
mm-hmm.
depending on what it is. But you always walk away feeling like you were served properly. We were great customer service, great experience, great people on both sides of the marketplace. And you make the most money because you create a technology that enables the margins to be better for you.
You know, that is the goal. You look at the industry as a whole, they're all suffering because they haven't thought about how to put technology on top of what they're doing, and they're actually starting to pivot and shift into other service models. And there's no reason why search can't continue to be a massive business. They just need to rethink how they do it.
Oh my God. The cost of bringing in high-level experienced recruiters that jacks up the cost of operations for these headhunter groups. And then, this is my favorite, is you start to see them now offering like tangential services on the side, and it's like, what are you doing?
Boardroom
like it
consulting.
Has to make you, yeah, boardroom. Oh my God, that's another show.
Yeah,
well, but you like you literally watch this. Like you have to be laugh. Like if I was you, I'd be laughing my ass off. Like you don't laugh because you want to be cocky about it,
sure.
but I'm laughing.
At the end of the day, companies care about getting great talent to their organization. Like I do not think the search business model will ever go away, but I think the days of recruiters making millions of dollars and having to do that to sustain their lifestyles, I think the days of not being thoughtful in how they apply technology over their business to increase their margins, and I think the days of them not being innovative over how they employ new network effects to access people is going to come in the next couple of years. And hopefully, you know, with a little luck and hard work, we can help bring that.
I'm going to leave you with a funny little anecdotal story that I hope you get a kick out of. I recently had, and this is not the people we're talking about before, it's a different group, another competitor that's not competing, that is in the recruit, I would say not only headhunter, but they're sort of like a hybrid. So it's like we place in tech and a few other areas. They are like very well respected and they place individuals. And then when it comes to bulk hire in sales and other things, like they can really help you there. So this is the company. I'm not going to say their name. They reached out to me. They were going to be on the show. I didn't end up having the show, not for any particular reason. It was just didn't work out. But one of their services that they're now offering is twofold. And they thought it was brilliant. They told me that's why they wanted to be the show, to tell the world about this thing. The first part was they offered culture coaching.
Okay.
And the second was an insurance policy in case the placement didn't work. Do you see any glaring problems with the approach?
Yeah. You know, a couple.
What's the first thing that comes to mind if I said to you, Nick, I want to place a bunch of people because I got a great network. You know I got a great network. I want to get them to work at Hunt Club. But here's the thing. Don't worry because I'll help them integrate because I'll coach them up. because I don't know anything about them, and neither do you. And then, in case it doesn't work out, I'll give you your money back. How confident are you that I'm going to place good people?
Yeah, you know, I'd be shaking a little bit on that one.
It blew my mind.
Yep.
Like, that's a legit, and that's an example for everyone out there in the crew. And it's just like, not all new business lines are a great idea.
Nope.
Spend that money and time making sure. Like, and I even said to the guy, I was like, did you guys ever think of like going back and actually spending the money that you spent on that program on just
increasing your service and just growing your existing
business?
Or,
you know, coaching up the people before you place them? Anything.
Yeah. You know, I think in today's world, people are always trying to innovate around a lot of different things versus just improving their core service.
Incremental innovation is not the worst thing in the world.
3 years we've started this business. We've added 2 new service lines that are very similar to our existing service line, just with a little bit of a different business model and a deeper kind of service level engagement. And I don't see us innovating around that for a long time. It's a big market, and I encourage other entrepreneurs to think about strengthening what's working versus.
So you don't see Apple Care for Hunt Club soon?
You know, maybe in a
couple
Hunt years.
Club, and if you don't like it, Apple Care for Hunt Club.
Yeah. We'll place somebody, but also buy this insurance policy in the event it doesn't work out. I mean, it's natural synergy.
Well, you pay the insurance policy, we actually make more money. We get paid twice, because if we're any good, you know, it's worthwhile.
Good business.
Super fascinating. I love what you guys are doing. Congratulations on the success.
Thanks, Scott.
Keep us up to date with what's going on. Where do people go to start actually using Hunt Club? Where do influencers go? Where do companies go, etc.?
So you can now go to www.huntclub.com. We got the .com now.
There you go. Nice.
Growing up.
All grown up. And on social media, you guys doing stuff?
Yeah, at Hunt Club Code on Twitter. And then you can find us on Facebook too. Just search Hunt Club.
Very cool. Thank you, Nick, so much.
Thanks, guys.
You can catch this episode and more at technora.com. Download the podcast on iTunes and stay connected. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Technora. You can follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.